Welcome to Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. Each week, we explore down and dirty ways to stop awfulizing, catastrophizing, going down the rabbit hole, and moving through all the craziness that is happening right now. We're here to create a community of like-minded people as we give you tips, tricks, and techniques for keeping sane in an unhinged world. And now, here are your hosts, Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg.
Hey, everybody. This is Scott Grossberg, one of your co-hosts for the podcast, Keeping Your Shit Together in a Stressed World. And I'm here with my lovely co-host, Michelle Post. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Happy almost Hanukkah. Happy almost Christmas. Happy almost Kwanzaa. And all of the other holidays I can't name. And Festivus. Festivus, you know what?
Festivus for the rest of us.
We have never done an episode on this. It just struck me. Maybe next year. We can do what was Festivus? The airing of the grievances?
I can't remember, but it was funny, Seinfeld reference. So I can't remember what it was. But we should do a show on it next year.
I think it was the airing of the grievances, and it would be interesting. Right, because we both have families, and we've had various interactions with our families, and it would be interesting from a therapy, counseling, coaching standpoint to kind of view is airing of grievances within the family actually a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, well, I guess it depends on whether. From my standpoint, it depends on whether people can do it respectfully and lovingly and with compassion, because, I have witnessed family interventions that are magical and powerful and bring people together and sort of break down the walls of division and isolation. So airing of family grievances can be really wonderful if it's done in like a respectful, assertive, non-violent, non-abusive, non-sarcastic way.
Well, so much for my crime and punishment approach.
Well, speaking of Festivus, it might be too late, but I was thinking about, I saw my hairdresser today. Isn't my hair look cute? Nobody can see it but you. But anyway, saw my hairdresser today, and she gave me the most beautiful ornament, like this frosted glass ornament with a red bow, which matched a white frosted glass, and it matches my tree perfectly. And then it had black, beautiful handwriting on it that said, "You make the world a better place."
Oh, how that's very nice.
Like, I was shopping and it just jumped out at me, and it's exactly who you are, Michelle. And I was like, almost in tears, that I just, such a nice compliment for someone to give that. And she's like, hopefully none of her clients find this. But maybe you don't know who I am, but she gives generic gifts, but some of her special clients, she gives special gifts, and I'm one of her special people.
So by the way, I know this wasn't where we were going to go with this, and I know we want to talk about our gifting episode, but do you give gifts to like the gardener, the mailman, your hairdresser? What do you do?
Yeah, we give gifts to regular scheduled people. So we could do better. Like we could give the mail person a gift, but I don't know if it's the same person. I don't know that I've even ever met them. We could give gifts to our trash disposal recycling people. I don't know. We do give gifts to people that we personally interact with. So my hairdresser, we have a housekeeper that comes monthly. We have somebody that works on our yard who comes monthly. So we do give gifts to people that we interact with on a monthly, at least monthly basis, and some of our neighbors. And usually we try to do a homemade gift, or we try to do like gift cards of some sort, or give an extra tip. Because, the people don't always need your junk, but sometimes they really can use a little bit of extra money for the holidays with all their family and everything they're doing. So often we will just give like a larger tip for that time of year. That way they can do it with it what they want. buy brothers or pay bills or have fun.
The reason I ask is because, periodically, for the people we interact with, I'll use our gardener as an example. If they, and there are multiple people who show up to do the yard, if they go over and above, like if they go into the orchard, and because the orchard, mm-hmm. I take care of, I do the pruning, I do all of the maintenance back there, but I've watched them go back there, and periodically they'll go to the labyrinth and spray for weeds, or they'll go, mm-hmm. you know, wherever. And it's like, that's over and above. We mm-hmm. actually do stuff throughout the year. Uh-huh. And even, by the way, when we, not that it's gotten much better, but during the massive gas price increases, uh-huh. you know, I'm very aware that our gardener isn't just driving to places.
Oh, yeah.
Our gardener is using gas for the lawn yes. blowers and the lawn mowers and the all the, yes. you know, and stuff like that. So we periodically have given him gas money, extra gas yeah. money for gas. And so I do think it's important because, you know, a lot of these folks they're not making great gobs of money off of this.
Right. Or they're self-employed. And when they take time off, yeah. they don't get paid, you know, those kinds of things. Like, and we sort of feel like there's certain people that we interact with so often that we're like family. So if somebody in the family gets sick, we bring them food so even though there's an exchange of energy, like they may provide us a service and we may pay them money, we still have this exchange of like love and compassion and care for each other. And I think that's special. So I do know
people, by the way, who leave out baked goods, cookies and stuff for the Amazon delivery.
Yeah. And there was this, I think there still is this great thing where it, you know, for your Amazon delivery person, every time you get a delivery, you can tell Alexa to thank your delivery person. I spell it out because she's listening. you can tell them, thank my delivery person. And they give them a tip, or if they get so many thank yous, they get like acknowledged.
I was not aware of that.
Yes, it happened, started last year. And so if you check, like if you just tell her, hey, so-and-so, thank my delivery person, they'll go, oh, your delivery person received a $5 something gift. And it's a service. It's especially this time of season when they're so busy. In fact, Brian's nephew, my nephew, he started working for his local Amazon and his dad ordered him a gift. And he's like, Mom, I think I just saw what I'm getting for my birthday. He packed his own birthday gift at That's the Amazon funny. Warehouse.
So I just pulled up on Amazon, Alexa, thank my driver. That's what you say.
That's what you
say. I'd never seen this before. It's a program that started where I'm going to skip through a bunch of this. Basically, eligible drivers can get $5 per thank you.
Yes, yes.
And you say what I just said, uh-huh. or you can say Alexa, tell my driver thank you. Uh-huh. You do it through your Echo or Alexa or the app or online or... And as long as it's within 14 days of delivery,
yes,
they get thank yous, and yes. you can
In fact,
thank
I'm sure
you.
We've had a delivery.
You can thank the. I've got one coming today. I'm going to try this. You can thank the. You can thank the driver multiple times if they come multiple times. Uh-huh. You're only allowed one thank you per delivery, uh-huh. and. Oh, and then there's a thing down at the bottom. It has ended. The promotion ended. Oh, no.
When?
I'm going to do it anyway.
Well, I don't know why. One time she recently said, do you want to thank your driver after giving me a notification?
I may be on an old page, by the way. I mean, I don't know. I've never seen this before. So anyway, it's worth a shot, folks, because, uh-huh. you know, I've watched some of these delivery drivers, and it's... You know, the UPS guys and the Amazon guys.
Seriously.
and even the private drivers that subcontract to deliver your stuff. It's like, where I am, we've got a very large warehouse nearby, and it's in some cases we get our stuff in 2 hours.
Oh wow!
From Amazon,
because it's so close by.
Because it's close by, and it's like, this is crazy stuff, right?
Yes, absolutely, it is. I don't know where you can do it on your app, but I was just curious to see. Anyway, I'm going to try it, and we'll see what happens. We'll let you know next week, folks. Stay tuned for this.
Well, now, so speaking of gifting, do you want to tell them about just a reminder of one of our prior episodes?
Oh, yes. So my good friend, if you remember, Christina Courtney came on November 7th of 2023. To give us 7 easy tips to be a better gifter. What episode was that, Scott?
Say that again.
What episode number was that?
That was 139.
So if you need some tips, it might be too late in the season, but if you need some tips and you're like, oh, I'm so struggling with this, search for 7 easy tips to be a better gifter on our series. And hopefully that'll help you, but I'll give you a couple quick ones, like, making it personal. When you know someone well, and you know what their love language is. Are they an acts of service person or a words of affirmation person? You know, give them something that is personal to their love language. If they like quality time, then take them on an outing. If they do like gifts, make a very thoughtful gift. If they're words of affirmation, write them a love letter. If they're acts of service, give them coupons and start right away. Don't just wait for them to give you a coupon, but start taking out the trash for them if that's their normal duty, or go get their car washed for them if they normally take care of it themselves. So make it personal. It doesn't have to be pricey, but personal goes a long way. So that's my one tip for today.
By the way, I got some great ideas listening to our own episode that I've used throughout the year, not just one time.
Yes.
Shall we jump in to today's topic?
Oh, we shall, because it is a good one. It is an annual.
This is one of my fun ones. And if anything has become a practice of mine every day, this is probably it. And I will tell you that it originally was brought to my attention through somebody by the name of Chris Brogan. And then I discovered there's a lot more to it than what Chris did. But Chris, I came to it through Chris and the 3 words he put together. And if I remember correctly, he's been doing this since 2006. And he would periodically list all of the things that he would do. And it's built around the construct, let me just give you the bare bones of this, is that if you will come up with one word that means something, empowers you, and we'll get into all of that in a moment, but one word, it will give you clarity and focus in busy, stress-filled, overwhelmed life, right? It gives you something to latch on to. It gives you an anchor to deal with. From there, and you know, this is typical Scott, I go down the rabbit hole when something fascinates me. I go down the rabbit hole, and I was fascinated to find out that Claire Booth Luce reportedly had a meeting with then President John F. Kennedy and kept pushing him and asking him for his one sentence as president. And then she finally said, a great man is one sentence. That then took me down the rabbit hole, because when you think about it, right, you think of all the great people. It doesn't have to be a great man, but, the great people in your life. And you can summarize what they've done, who they are, what they mean, what they stand for, what their legacy is in one sentence, even if it's a quote that they did.
Right.
I think of Abraham Lincoln and immediately I got the Gettysburg Address. Mm-hmm. You think of John F. Kennedy.
Exactly.
And it's, his famous speech I got a couple of them from him. You think of, again, you just think of of all these people, and at least for me, it comes back as a sentence. And it's a very simple way of explaining your life purpose, for lack of a better way to put it. And it kind of develops. That then took me to one of the sayings of the Buddha. Again, it's a very deep rabbit hole and very fulfilling. Mm-hmm. But Buddha's purported to have said, better than 1,000 hollow words is one word that brings peace.
Oh, wow.
And so I thought, here we are on December 4th. It's just before, again, the holiday gifting season. And we're coming into the new year. I thought this would be the perfect time to revisit the words that you and I have been doing. And you and I have been doing this from day one.
Yes.
We obviously are very careful in the words we now select. Because it tends to be that when we select our words, they play off of each of us. And we've got this whole...
Yes, they do.
We've got this whole sympathetic magic thing going on where I choose a word and you get to experience it. I've got that. So if you don't mind, what I'd like to do is you and I will play as we go through this and develop not one word, not the three words that Chris Brogan was talking about, but five words. And I will explain how I came up and adapted the one word / three word formula into five words. And this is what works for me, even to the extent, folks, that I've got this on my screensaver. I've got this on my phone. And you turn on your phone, you see it there. It is a constant reminder because it's on my lock screen or it's on my desktop on my MacBook. So that when the desktop comes up, that's the first thing that I see right at the top are these five words. And I even have them written in my journal that I keep. It's actually written at the very top. I do it in a different color. I can glance at it. And it's a very, and maybe you can, from a therapy standpoint, even comment on this, Michelle. It's a very comforting thing just to see it there. It's almost like a reminder.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Of your goals for the whole year. And you know, goals that we write down, we're more likely to achieve. And things that are present of mind help the reticular activating system so that we notice when we're making the progress of things that are in the forefront of our mind. It causes us to almost attract or track these interactions. So definitely, this is an activity that I have learned from you and use with my clients that I move from the end of a year into the new year and help them focus on. And it's a really great exercise. So for our ongoing listeners, I hope you'll do it again with us. For our new listeners, I hope you love it.
Thank you. All right. So we're going to create five words. I will walk you through the formula that I go through. I'll do it exactly the way I do it, not only with myself, but with my coaching clients. And I just like you, Michelle, I work through these with my clients at year's end. This is the time that I start doing this. And even just after the first of the year, I don't want listeners to think that it's date dependent. However, there are some interesting new studies out that I've just come across that, for lack of a better way, there's a concept that major event dates seem to propel us into more action, right? The first of the year, your birthday, a major holiday, a major event, whatever it is. And so I want everybody to be aware that there's actually that kind of conditioning going on as well, that there is something to it. This is not a resolution. These are not resolutions. What these are is empowerment words that carry you through from now into the future.
Yes.
All right. So let's just jump in. Word number one. And again, we're now in 2023. This is moving into 2024. So this is everything we're developing is for next year. Yep. You develop it now so that it's kind of like priming the pump, for lack of a better way to put it. You're priming the pump now, and you're putting in the directions into your personal spiritual GPS so that your personal spiritual GPS knows where to take you in 2024. And like any good GPS, you can't just get in your car and wait for it to tell you to take you somewhere. Right? It has nothing to triangulate with. It has nothing for context. It can tell you where you are, but it can't take you anywhere. It can show you where you're traveling, but it can't reroute you. And that's what I really want everybody to think of these five words as, is your personal spiritual GPS. And you're actually updating the map. I don't know if any of you, I just got a notice from my car that the new maps are available. And it's like, yeah, right? Okay. So yes, you got
it keeps developing.
You got to put them in and it updates the map. So this is an update for those of you that have done this before. Mm-hmm. Word number one is very simply, this is what you really want for 2024. And I want everyone to start thinking when we develop all these words, that this is the one word that will change things for you. And there's a big and here, and that represents a positive, profound, and deep transformation that you want in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, in the past, I've cheated a little because it's supposed to be one word, but there are some where believe it or not, back 5 years ago, my transformation word was live fully. It's two mm-hmm. words, but there's no one word for that. Mm-hmm. So you can mm-hmm. cheat a little. Mm-hmm. 2019, my word was grace. 2020, my words were authentic self. I guess I could have put authenticity, but authentic self spoke more to me. 2021, this was the fun one for us, Michelle. This is where my word was unflappable.
Oh, man. Yeah, unflappable was a rough year, 2021.
2022 was gratitude. Mm-hmm. And 2023, this year, is inspired. And I think you can see how, right? And by the way, you can repeat words if that's necessary for you. However, 2024, my transformation word is healing.
That's beautiful.
So have you developed one yet?
No, I decided I was going to come to our episode and let it percolate this time.
So
I usually have one ready, and sometimes I want to change it by the time I get here. And this year I decided I'm going to let it percolate. So right, I have my past 3 years in front of me, mm-hmm. and then I'm sitting with what I want to achieve in 2024.
So let me work with you. We don't have to come up with a final word, but let me work with uh-huh. you so that those who can't just pull this crap out of the air on their own uh-huh. Have a little bit of help as sure. as if we were coaching them. I'm going to do uh-huh. it with you.
Okay.
And that is, if you were walking along the beach and you're walking along barefoot in the sand and you kick this object, and in it, you reach down and this thing, it's a magic lamp. It's Aladdin's lamp. And in it is the genie. Mm. And you rub the lamp and out comes Scott, right? And
I come,
I Scott the genie. And I come out and I say, Michelle, I'm going to grant you one wish. Forget the three wish stuff. I'm going to grant you one wish. What is the one thing that would be positive, profound, and provide deep transformation for you right now?
Of freedom.
So we take that, right? Mm-hmm. And I want our listeners to understand this is not an intellectual exercise. This is an intuitive, gut level, undefended heart. Now, once you come up with a word, that you don't stop there, right? So part of your part of the percolating here is to take freedom and to deep dive on it and to say, what does freedom mean for me? What will freedom bring for me? And even further, what's standing in the way of me having freedom now? Mm-hmm. And as you go through this, I'm not going to do this with you because it's not a therapy session, but it's, as you do that, you start to realize all the different words. And feel free, folks, to use your favorite thesaurus online or on your phone or just a physical book and find the words that are similar. Because we may come up with a word like freedom, and it may not be just right. Mm-hmm. Right? Think of yourself like Goldilocks. You want the thing that's just right. Mm-hmm. And so you want to play with the word a little bit. This is part of that whole percolating process of saying, look, I need one word that will represent this profound transformation in my life. Is freedom actually it? Mm-hmm. Now, why am I spending so much time telling you to find the right word? Because the only big rule for this is once you pick your word, you don't get to change it. That's your word for 2024. And the reason I say that is that that constraint is what brings the power to this. It's knowing that you've brought better attention and created powerful intention with the understanding that I've got to do it this way because it doesn't get to change till the year after that. Mm-hmm. Now, in saying all those things, does anything pop up for you, Michelle, with the concept of the word freedom?
Well, I first defined the word freedom, which is the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants to without hindrance or restraint. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of other words popped up, like sovereignty, but that tends to be more of a political domain and power over. Authority. I really feel like, I don't know if it's liberation or deliverance, but I feel like freedom is still the word that's speaking to me mostly.
And again... For listeners, what you want to do, so I'm looking at my thesaurus on this end, mm-hmm. and freedom can also mean play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's, again, how you play with it. And it's like, do I want more playfulness next year? Right. Well, that's not what I mean by freedom, right? Freedom for me is deliverance without the banjo. And it's, you know, this is where you start exploring, again, bringing highly focused surgical attention mm-hmm. to the intention that you want for 2024. Mm-hmm. You know, there's another component to freedom in here when you look at it, right? And that's immunity or, quote, freedom from obligations.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep.
So there's this whole, you know, freedom is a big deal, by the way, which when I work with my clients. It goes even further when I work with some of my coaching clients and I ask them what they want. Many of them immediately say more money because they play the little game that if I had more money, then mm-hmm. I'd be able to do this, that, and the other thing. The difference mm-hmm. between me and so-and-so is they've got the money to do this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so to them, money equals being able to get what they want. When in fact, when we dig deep in a coaching session, they find that money is actually not what they want. What they want is freedom. Mm-hmm. They want to be able to do what they want, when they want, as they want, anytime that they want.
Yep. Yes.
And money is actually not even part of it.
It's not about that.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad that we're doing this because I want listeners to be able, whatever your word is, right? I've had some doozies of some words I've spent a great deal of time unpacking them. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, my word for next year is healing. There's a lot packed into that one.
Yeah.
And Michelle understands some of it. I don't need, and by the way, you don't have to go into this with anybody. We're sharing with you guys
as an example.
As examples. And because we bring a very authentic, unfiltered content to the show. But you don't have to share this with anybody. This can be your own private thing. Nobody has to see your lock screen. Nobody has to see what's in your journal. It's what's powerful and meaningful and profound for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Ready to move on to word two?
I think so.
So word one, as a quick reminder, is what you want.
Right.
For 2024.
Right.
Right. This is your, I get one wish from the genie. What would it be?
Yeah.
What would be so transformational that the world shifts on its axis for me?
Yeah.
Okay. Word number two is the same concept, but what is it that you want to do for others? Again, I want to take the time to go through this so that the listeners understand. The first word is what's positive, profound, and deeply transformational for you. Now it's what can you do to have positive, profound, and deep transformational impact on others.
Mm-hmm.
So, as examples, 2018, my word was inspire. 2019, it was fulfilled. Now remember, these are what I want the effect to be on others.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to experience these things. 2020 was manifest. 2021, that great year, was enough. 2022 was peace. This year it was spellbound. And 2024, I want others to experience mastery.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. That's a nice wish for other people. Yeah.
And that's a great way to put it, Michelle. I'm glad you did that because, again, we've talked on this show about how I handle gratitude, right? Mm-hmm. I think of Michelle and I say, I want for Michelle all, you know, this abundant, profound, deep happiness. And then I imagine what it would be like for her. What is the root of all happiness for Michelle? And I picture that and I picture her experiencing that. This is the same thing. What is your wish? Not to be dumped on somebody else, but what are you going to bring mm-hmm. to the table to help them experience?
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because I'm in the course of doing the deep dive for the word freedom, which is something I hadn't really toyed with before today, I saw the word liberation and delivery and then release. And I think it's what's speaking to me is I would love to help my clients release from years of pain, from like, and the people in my life, not just my clients, but the people around me, that they could release years of pain, of confinement or worry or fears. And so I don't, liberation is, it feels even better than release. Deliverance, I don't think, because it's not that I, in my work, and in my life, I don't necessarily feel like I am the person who does voodoo on other people, and therefore I am the all-knowing. Da, 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 da. I really do believe that I just create the space for the magic to happen.
Yeah.
Right. I do educate. I do teach tools, and I do highlight things that maybe they're not seeing in themselves that they could look at, but I think liberation or release are speaking to me. So I'll have to sit with it a little bit, but those are the two that are speaking to me.
All right. So,
and they go right along with my first word.
They do. And I'm glad you brought that up because sometimes that is what will happen. Other times it may not be. So, right. Yours go together. My power word, my big one is healing. But I want to bring mastery, help people experience mastery, help people become masters in whatever they're doing. Now, maybe that heals them, but it's not, one is not dependent on the other.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's cool that it's there as well. Again, mm-hmm. once you come up with the word that you bring to the table,
mm-hmm.
this is you granting a wish for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you want to unpack it just like we did with the first word. And that is, mm-hmm. is that really what I'm bringing to the table, right? Mm-hmm. I spent a long time wrestling with the mastery part. And it mm-hmm. took me taking the time to think of the people I've worked with over this past year and asking the very deep question, what the hell did it matter?
Yeah, yeah.
And being very blunt and bold and honest with myself of saying, you know what? Some people don't care. Some people, it didn't matter. For those that did, here's what I experienced them experiencing, and listening to them. And it, by the way, this is a very active listening imagination thought experiment. Mm-hmm. It forces you to go back and go, God, did I really actually listen to them? And by the way, though, even for those of you who are not into coaching, who just you live life, you've got families and friends, the same thing works. Have you taken the time to actually listen? What is it that your significant other really needs that you can be part of? What is it that your kids really need that you can be part of? What is it that your colleagues or coworkers or clients really need? Are you listening to them? Mm-hmm. Right? It pulls the ego out of it mm-hmm. and yet keeps you manifestly engaged involved. And... yeah. Mm-hmm. And it, then it becomes, in my case, for example, mastery. Is that really what these people are looking for? And yeah, it took a long yeah. time for me to realize that's their need right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty good at getting people to that confident, self-esteem-based level of saying, mm-hmm. I got this. Mm-hmm. Oh, hell yeah, I'm good at what I do, mm-hmm. right? Next year, it may be different. And you know, I'm looking here real quickly. This year, it was Spellbound. And Michelle yeah. knows it was all about the magic and all about
the enchantment,
right? And mm-hmm. so it's very interesting how these words will guide you mm-hmm. For the coming year.
Yeah.
All right. You ready for the next three? And they're, yes. They're lumped together as one. And this is, by the way, how I first came across this construct with Chris Brogan, who, by the way, isn't posting them anymore. I don't know I don't know what Chris is doing, but it's okay. We've got this now. The original concept that I came across was his, where you choose three words that have personal meaning for you, right? We've done this with actually the first word already. And so I've tweaked it a little bit based on what Chris did here. And you're now going to choose three words that serve as guideposts, for lack of a better way to put it, that's the word he used, guidepost for your chosen path in the coming year. So, right, you have chosen two words, right? We're not going to do these backwards. You choose the first word for you, second word, what you help with others, and then you move to your three. This is what you want to manifest. This is the process. These are the logistics. This is the down and dirty detail for what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And to put it another way, these are what you create that serve as metrics or waypoints or measurables for 2024.
Okay.
And I'll explain it in a minute. So for 2018, my three words were safe, exciting, and love.
Mm-hmm.
Remembering that my big word, my big power word, was live fully.
Yeah.
I chose the guideposts for living fully to be safe, exciting, and love.
Yeah.
I wanted people to be inspired. That was my, what can I bring to the table? I can inspire mm-hmm. them. The logistics, the way that those get handled are make it safe for them, make it exciting, and fill it with love. So the three words are all encompassing of the first two words. They're how you're going to walk through the world. I mean, that's probably the best way to put it. The last three words are how you're going to do this. The first two are the results you're looking for. The first two are consequences. The last three are actions.
Okay.
or experiences, but primarily actions. So 2018, my three words were safe, exciting, and love. 2019, it was joy, confidence, and purpose. 2020, equanimity, conduit, and abundance. 2021 was playful, magic, and fulfilling. Mm-hmm. Magic being a verb, by the way. 2022, again, one of those words, unfuckwithable, meaningful, and here. Right? These are action words. Last year, or this year, I should say, blessed, ablaze, and enchanting.
Okay.
Now, this year.
So does that mean they should be verbs?
Well, it's whatever you want. If you wanted to, whatever speaks to you that can be acted on. So let me walk you through this year for me, as we're moving into 2024. As a reminder, my big transformation word for me is healing. That's for me. For others, it's mastery. So within the context of healing for me and mastery for others, my big three words are awe, A-W-E, oneness, and appreciation. Now, when you think about, these are big words, right? When you think about that, I think in the context of healing, the three words are, these are the ingredients of the healing pie for me, right? That's how deeply you deconstruct these things. You go, okay, great, Scott, wonderful. You want to be, you want to experience this healing you're talking about. And I've got a very personal definition of that, by the way. Mm-hmm. Don't think you're a mind reader, folks, right? Mm-hmm. Again, this isn't for sharing other than I'm letting you know the word. You don't attribute your meaning to my meaning. In order to experience the healing pie, I believe, I imagine, I construct that the three primary ingredients for the healing pie, in no particular order, said Ryan Chris, because they're not, they're all together, right? It's like you put them in a mixing cup, mix them together, and pour them all at once into the pie bowl. My three words in order to experience healing, I'll know when that's happened when there's awe, A-W-E, oneness, and appreciation. For others, I want them to experience mastery in their own skills, in their own being, and their own personas, and their own spirituality. And I'll know that's happened when they experience awe, oneness, and appreciation. So the three words are this, again, you're creating this construct that is very congruent with both your first two words.
Okay.
Now, with yours, right, we've got freedom.
Freedom. Mm-hmm.
So what do you see as the set points, for lack of a better way to call them, of freedom for you? What comes to mind? How will you know when you got it?
Well, it's fascinating because I was playing with these words as you were speaking. And I think what's coming to mind is that beautiful poem or prayer that is said so often in the 12-step world, which is grant me the courage to change the things I cannot change, or the courage to change the things I can. The acceptance to accept the things I cannot change, and the wisdom to tell the difference. And the words that were coming to mind when I think about freedom, I think about courage, like you need to be courageous and able. If you want to be free, that involves a certain amount of risk taking and the courage to do that. Also freedom, if you're going to stay within the guide rails, freedom is like acceptance of a lot of things that are not free, acceptance of other people, acceptance of things you cannot change. And then there is a certain amount of wisdom in that is about freedom, being wise and using that as a tool as a guidepost for, like for instance, off air, we were talking about that news. You know, I've got a Disney trip coming up for Brian's 50th birthday. And, you know, Scott, you joked with me about the news about the man that seemingly may have been under the influence and took his clothes off at It's a Small World. And you told me, well, whatever you do, don't take your clothes off at It's a Small World. Well, you know, if you want to express yourself and be free, then taking your clothes off at It's a Small World is definitely an expression of freedom, but it's and very courageous, right? And it's not very wise because you will quickly lose your freedom, or at least the freedom to ever return to Disney, and potentially be sent to jail for public indecency. So you will lose your freedom if you are not also practicing wisdom.
Okay, so the three words boil down to then what?
Courage, acceptance, and wisdom, I think.
Okay, and so these are the things, folks. This is the way you come up with your one word, second word, and then the final three for a total of five. Mm-hmm. Now, Michelle, apply that to your second word.
It works for my second word, too. When it comes to releasing or liberation, I've got to figure that out. You know, you need to have the courage to release and express yourself and to let go. You need to have acceptance that part of this is your work to do, that nobody else can make you release or liberate. You've got to make that choice. You have to accept that this is within your realm of your world, and you need to be wise about it. You need to practice wisdom. So all three words do actually work for my first and second word.
Perfect. And that's the test, is can you take the final three words and apply it to both the first word and the second word in ways that mean something to you. They don't have to mean something to anybody else. Again, you don't have to share it. Now, to put this on steroids, I want to reiterate that you take your five words and you write them down. You don't keep them in your head. You're going to forget them over the course of the next year. You write them down, you put them where you can see them, you put them on post-it notes and stick it on a mirror. Again, I have it on my phone, I have them on my desktop, where it's a constant reminder. And the beauty of this is what happens is it starts to take on a life of its own. Now, let me caution everybody, again, you don't get to change your words. That's the commitment here. You create your words, and when you're finally there, that's the word. Even if you want to change it, because at that point you're deflecting, denying, and destroying the word, right? You stay with it until next year when we do this again. The other thing that happens is you will find at some point, and I do have this happen with some coaching clients, some of the words start to lose their power the more you play with them. Mm-hmm. And that's also a good indication it's not the right word. You want the word that when you see it, it screams out at you, oh, hell yeah, that's my word. Mm-hmm. It resonates from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. It resonates from inside you out and from outside in. And it's like, I got this. Mm-hmm. This is where I am. And because of that, what I find tends to happen is the more you write these down and put them places, it almost becomes like a logo. And you're not looking at the individual words anymore. It takes on a life of its own as a meaning. And it's again, that comfort, that security blanket of words. Mm-hmm. You just look at it. I mean, I've got it on my desktop. I look at it and it's like, I got it. And you don't think about the individual words anymore. You almost transcend those. So I trust this has been helpful for people as we move into next year.
I hope so.
Next week,
yes,
we are going to talk about exposure therapy, and I'm going to let Michelle take the reins on that one. And I'm going to ask a lot of very naive questions.
Okay.
Until then, again, we're coming up. Hanukkah is early this year, so happy Hanukkah to those who celebrate. And we're coming into the holiday season for everybody who celebrates other things. So whatever you celebrate, we're wishing you all the best cheer and magical holidays that you can have. And to take these five words and use them to find some peace and serenity and comfort as we move into the next year. including power. With that, please share us, like us, subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, write us and let us know, you know, how the show is impacting your lives. We love hearing that stuff. Michelle, what's your website so people can reach out to you?
It is postinternationalinc.com.
And you can reach me through thinkingmagically.com. And with that, folks, until next time, be well. Bye-bye.
You've reached the end of another episode of Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. If you like our show, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate our broadcast, and leave a review. The podcast is for general information only and not intended to be legal or mental health advice, nor the formation of a lawyer-client, nor therapist-patient relationship. Stay tuned for our next episode, and thank you for listening.